The West Live.
The West Live.
The West Live. Brought to you by the State School Teachers Union campaign to fix WA's teacher shortage.
Australia has just announced it's going to follow the lead of the US and boycott the Winter Olympics in Beijing. This all started last month when US President Joe Biden said he was considering a diplomatic boycott because of China's human rights record, and yesterday followed through with that threat. Today, Prime Minister Scott Morrison announced Australia will not send any officials to the Games, although athletes will still attend. This obviously has led to a war of words with China, who are labelling it pretentious. But could it go further than just words? Joining me now is the policy fellow of the Perth US Asia Centre, Sonia Arakal. Good morning, Sonia.
Hi, Ben.
So, China is warned of countermeasures. What do you make of this situation, and what does it mean that Australia has said they're going to have a diplomatic boycott of the Olympics?
Look, the diplomatic boycott is a bit of a Solomon solution for Australia. So, like the US, we can't ignore the growing evidence of human rights abuses in Xinjiang, but at the same time, our athletes have worked hard. So the diplomatic pullout is a halfway point. It's probably more about sending a message to the rest of the world than it is to the Chinese Communist Party, because we know, given how the state-run media works in China, the population there is unlikely to get the message. For that to happen, we would have had to see something a bit more substantive from codes like the NBA or FIFA. But those codes make a huge amount of money in China, and we're not going to see that kind of action pulling out of China from then. So what we have here is a symbolic diplomatic pullout that allows the Australia and its allies to maintain their ideological points without having to compromise on the sporting spirit of the Olympics.
Because let's be real here, Sonia. What we're talking about is some bureaucrats not flying to Beijing on the taxpayer dollar and whining and dining at the Olympics for a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. And look, I work in foreign policy and I know how self-important we are, but a couple of missing diplomats isn't going to be a huge blow to the Chinese Communist Party. If anything, I mean, I'd be worried about the athletes. Surely, given the geopolitical tensions between the countries, they need diplomatic support now more than ever. But that said, you know, the diplomatic boycotts are less about trying to cause some kind of upheaval for the Chinese Communist Party themselves, and more about showing the world that when human rights abuses happen in countries, they're going to be held accountable in public ways like this. And there's no denying that, you know, this is arguably a moment of pride for the Chinese Communist Party, and it's a bit of a dampener, though maybe not as much of a blow as Australia and the US would like to think it is.
Well, Australia has also referred to the treatment of Chinese tennis player Peng Shui, who has disappeared off the face of the earth and then has made some very suspicious reappearances claiming that she was okay, she's not in any danger. It has been met with deep scepticism by the Tennis Association and sporting people and governments around the world. You mentioned before about our athletes potentially needing diplomatic support more than ever. Are there concerns for our athletes going to Beijing?
Look, I think it wouldn't be unreasonable for any Australian official to be concerned. And I guess athletes are an important part of who we are as a country. And they are. We know that there have been examples in the past where athletes have been taken hostage. I don't think that's necessarily what's going to happen in China at this Winter Olympics, but we've got to have this in the back of our minds. And the tennis player, Peng Shui, is a really good example of what we were talking about earlier of, you know, when is it that codes or Olympics actually put their values out on the line. The Women's Tennis Association has been a leader in this respect. So they have done the unprecedented move of saying, we're not going to play any more games in China because of how one of our players was treated. And so that's real leadership from the sporting codes around human rights and about looking after their own players. And I think safety and security should be front of mind of all people going into Australia, representing Australia overseas. And that's in whatever country they're in, but especially in China, given the escalating tensions between our two countries.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that now, because, you know, this idea of a diplomatic boycott is, you know, it's kind of a token move to designed to send a message. But we know from past experience that Beijing doesn't really likes receiving these types of messages.
No, and of course we've got the usual, response from the Chinese Communist Party, kind of throwing their weight around. But let's see what actually that amounts to in terms of whether that could result in any more meaningful trade coercion, which so far Australia has been able to handle quite well, or whether, it could get quite tricky. What happens? I think what would be a really interesting thought experiment is what happens if at one point they turn around and say, we don't want Australian athletes. And that could be a really difficult situation. Now, that hasn't happened yet, but these are the kinds of future scenarios that this boycott has kind of opened the door to. But you're right that it's still a diplomatic boycott. We've seen from history that the best boycotts are against smaller nations. So, the South African Olympic teams weren't allowed to participate during apartheid, and that actually had a real effect on ending the oppressive apartheid regime in South Africa. But all the boycotts between the Soviet Union and the US didn't really have much to do with the end of the Cold War. So, at the same, there's a lot of palaver about it at the moment, but at the end of the day, a diplomatic pullout isn't going to bring a superpower like China to its knees.
Yeah, exactly. And if I was Australia, I think I'd be very wary about calling Beijing's bluff on pretty much anything. Policy Fellow of the Perth US Asia Centre, Sonia Arakal, thanks for joining us on The West Live.
Thanks, Ben.